All right, troops. Hello and welcome to That Mental Ginger Show with your host, Andrew Durning, a.k.a. The Mental Ginger. Well, my three faithful followers, for those watching on YouTube, you can see I still have the glasses on. The eye is not 100% yet, but good news is I can actually see, so it's a bonus this time. I just didn't want to risk taking the glasses off and seem unprofessional for our next guest, who's a very professional, very charming young woman, the host of the Bright Side of Life podcast, Melissa Bright. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on. It is a privilege to have you here.
Andrew, thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate it, and I'm excited for our conversations.
You're not the only one. But wait till we get into the conversation, then you might regret it.
Touché.
So the first thing that I like to ask all of my guests is to tell me about their origin story, because if there's one thing we all have in common, everybody has an origin story. So Melissa, would you please tell our listeners your origin story?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll try to keep this a little bit brief. A little bit of my backstory is I had my daughter whenever I was 16 years old. So whenever I was 16, I had my daughter. I'm 36 now, and she is now 19. So being a single mom was hard, but that was nothing that I absolutely loved having a daughter. But then at the age of 25, my mom had passed away, and my mom was my best friend. So I always tell the people that, you know, I had my daughter when I was 16, I was a single mom. So having your mom in your life, like my mom was, she was my best friend. We became really close after I had my child. She was so close with my daughter. So I lost my mom whenever I was 25, and that really took a toll on me more than I even realized. I went kind of through the motions for the next 10 years, thinking I had handled it well, thinking I dealt with it well, but kind of when COVID came around, I really wanted to talk to my mom more than I had ever wanted to. It really made me start missing her. So my boyfriend finally said, like, I think we need to get you into some kind of like professional counseling and help to deal with the loss of your mom. So we did that last year, and that has helped tremendously. But there was a lot of stuff that I had to uncover and talk with my therapist through. But then also during that therapy is when I also decided to start my own podcast. And I started that podcast to actually help other individuals that feel like they're alone in their own struggles. As much as we think we are alone, we're really not. I guarantee we can find one other person on this planet that has went through a similar situation. And that is how my podcast, The Bright Side of Life, came to be, so I could help other people out there just not feel alone in their struggles by sharing other people's stories that have found their path back to the bright side, whatever that means for them. So that's kind of a short story in a nutshell. Of course, I could add so many more details, but I won't.
feel free. The whole point is I want to know more about you. I want to know more about Melissa. The stuff you've told me already, having a daughter at 16 years old, and I could barely figure out where my left hand was from my right when I was 16. So kudos to you. That's absolutely incredible. How did you cope when first becoming a new mom at 16? Because that's such a radical life change and so young.
Yeah. And, you know, I was young. Obviously, it was not planned. I will say I had the support. My whole community really supported me. When you picture a girl that has a kid at 16, you might think of them to be promiscuous or they were always out partying or something. That's kind of just how society portrays it.
I think that's down to the MTV shows like 16 and Pregnant, isn't it? That kind stereotypes just came in when obviously that's not the case.
Yeah, mine was, that was a little bit before. I think that came out maybe like 4 or 5 years after, but I was a straight A student, didn't party, didn't drink. anything like that. So people just could not believe that, oh my gosh, Melissa, the smart student, the, you know, the athlete, she got pregnant. And in my high school, everybody was so supportive. I was really, really scared, obviously, to go to school and have everybody find out. But my principal, we all sat down, we said, hey, I'm going to finish school. I'm going to be at school. I'm not going to try to hide this. People will see. But like I said, I lived with my mom at that time. I was only 16 and she was such a support for me. She was excited to have a grandchild. After the initial shock wore off, my mom went home the day she found out I was pregnant and started making my baby book, who she did not make a baby book for me. So she was like, oh, I'll finally get around to making your baby book, Melissa. Mm-hmm. So yes, of course it had its struggles, you know, and I wound up not staying with her father. We broke up my senior year. And that was a choice that I made, and I knew what that meant, that I was going to be a single mom and do this alone. But I was okay with that choice. So there was struggles, but I wouldn't change it for the world. My mom got to have a granddaughter for 10 years before she passed away, her only grandchild at that point. So I really feel obviously that everything happens for a reason. And it wasn't easy, but it was amazing. And my daughter is 19 now, and she is so wonderful and such a mature woman, and we are extremely close to this day. So I'm very grateful for it.
It's any kind of Gilmore Girls ish sounding, in the nice way that, you know, you had a daughter quite young, but you're so close. And
exactly.
If you don't mind me asking, is the dad still in the picture now? Does he keep in contact, or is that kind of dropped off?
Unfortunately, he is not in the picture anymore. He actually hasn't seen her since she's been in eighth grade. It's a kind of really long, complicated story, but fortunately for her, my boyfriend and I have been together for almost 4 or 5 years. We've known each other for 20, and he's really, yeah, we've known each other since high school. But he really has kind of taken on that father figure role, and Trin knows that she could, you know, if she needed anything, that Brandon would be there to help her. He has already helped so much, you know, because we started dating pretty much when she started in high school, the really hard years. And I'll tell you what, I really did need him for those high school years for sure.
Wow. That's unreal.
Yeah.
So a difficult question to ask, and I hope, and if you don't feel comfortable asking it, you don't need to. I'll make that clear now. So what happened to your mum? Obviously, it's this, I know the spoiler alert, but what was it that kind of brought her to, you know, that point?
Yeah, so she had COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder from smoking. So she had smoked for as long as I could remember. She tried to quit a couple times, was successful for maybe like 2 years. But ultimately that's what happened. She also suffered from fibromyalgia. And then we believe that she had lupus also, but within her diagnosis, she passed away 8 months after her diagnosis. She actually had her lungs collapse twice in those 8 months. And for them to put this tube back in your lungs to like inflate them again is, she said it was the worst feeling of her entire life, and she would not do that again. So she decided to go on hospice. I'm sure the doctors were telling her like, it's not looking good, you know, all of those things. So she ultimately made the decision to go on hospice. Yeah, was gone 8 months after her diagnosis. Very, very fast.
Definitely. I'm really sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I don't know from my own personal, but my wife, she lost both of her parents before she was 14. Like she's told me about like the struggles that she's went through with it. So through association, I can understand, but obviously I'll never understand it completely, but my heart really does go out to you, and especially to your daughter. She would only have been 9 years old when she passed.
Yeah. But
how did you both find processing that? And I know you said you kind of just kind of plodded through essentially. But what about for your daughter's sake? How did you help her through such a traumatic experience for someone so young?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. And actually, so her dad, she was involved at that point, he was in her life. And whenever I lost my mom was right around the time he was getting back from the military. He was in Germany and came back into the States. And so he had asked me at that point if he could actually have my daughter come live with him, that he wanted the opportunity to help raise her also. And there was no point in me saying no, besides me just being selfish. Like he was a good father. It's not like he had drinking issues that I was like, no, you can't. So actually a very short time after my mom passed away, maybe within 6 months, she went to go live with her dad, which I think was probably better for her in terms of he was married at the time, had structure. I was working weekends. So I think for her, in dealing with my mom passing away, to be in that family setting was maybe better for her, and not feeling alone here while mom was working all the weekends and stuff like that. But she tells me, you know, these days she feels really guilty that she really has hard time like remembering, you know, what my mom sounded like, what she sometimes even like looked like. She said, Mom, I was only 10 years old and I feel guilty. And I'm like, well, you can't help that. But she knows how much it's affected me. I'm very, very vocal about it on social media, because me losing my mom was single, like handedly the most devastating thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah. And has changed my life also, turning my pain into a purpose. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a question that I should probably actually ask her, because she was with her dad, and I really truthfully don't know a whole lot, you know.
If your daughter's listening, I'm sorry that will be particularly difficult conversation that could come up. How long did she live with her dad?
Yeah, so she lived with him for about 3 years. So like fifth grade to eighth grade, and then she came back during eighth grade.
What was he? Yeah. Was he still in the military at that point, or was it just like kind of like a pass the parcel? We take her.
He wasn't in the military anymore. It just really, I knew that she really wanted to come back and be with me, and we just knew that that was sometime naturally going to happen. And I really wanted her back before high school. And there was just a series of events that happened up there that she wasn't happy there anymore. And she was starting to kind of act out to kind of show, I think, them like, I don't want to be here anymore. And he finally said, like, I can't handle it. I need her to come back to you. And I got her on a plane probably within maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I figured it out, how she was going to get back here, in terms of, you know, at that point I was living with a roommate. I didn't have an extra room, and we made it work. She came home and we lived in the same room for 9 months. I drove her to a school that was an hour away from my house every day for an entire school year. But that's what you do when you're a single mom. you make it work, and you figure it out. So
you certainly did. So I've got to really commend you for that. Well, I can picture living in the same room as my dad for 9 months. We'd end up killing each other. Or correction, he would kill me. It's very likely. I love my dad dearly, but yeah, he would choke me out in the instant.
Yeah. So it was interesting.
Definitely a concern, the issue would have been as well. Hormones raging, just wanting their own space and not being able to get it. Obviously, again, can't understand. Could kind of relate. But you've taken this negative, these really hard times, and you've turned it into something so positive and so commendable. You're raising awareness for mental health, especially through your podcast, The Bright Side of Life. So tell our listeners a bit about it. Tell us where they can find it, how the idea came to be, and all the stuff that really I want to know.
Yeah. So The Bright Side of Life started in September of 2020. And like I was saying earlier, that I really struggled during 2020. Most of us did. And I was a travel agent at that point. Travel completely like stopped. I was not making any money. I was extremely depressed because I was not contributing to my family and helping out in that regard. I always kind of self-worth was like, how much money was I making, you know? And so when I wasn't doing that, I felt like I wasn't worth anything. So I really started to ask myself, I listened to another podcast, Jay Shetty On Purpose, and he had two guests on there. And this lady was talking about how she found her purpose. And she said, how I found my purpose was when I looked out into the world, what made my heart hurt? And then she, once she found out that answer, she then said, okay, what can I do to make the world a better place and change that? So when I was like, oh, is that how simple it is to find your purpose, is to kind of ask yourself these questions. So I sat with myself and I asked myself what made my heart hurt. And what made my heart hurt was knowing other people felt alone in their struggles. I felt alone in 2020. I had my daughter, I had my boyfriend, but I still ultimately felt alone. Like I was dealing with the situation, missing my mom that they couldn't understand. So now I have the answer. Now the question was, how do I help the world make it a better place by not having people feel alone in their struggles? I knew I liked having deep conversations with people. So I said, I'm going to start a podcast. I love podcasts myself, whether it's true crime, Joe Rogan, anything, I'll listen to it. And so I was like, this is my answer. And so I decided to start looking for people that were willing to share their story on my podcast. And here we are a year and a half later. I've interviewed over 45 people with incredible, incredible stories. Some that I can't even imagine going through that they have went through. And it really does even help me like see that people have it really bad. And I feel like, oh my God, I've now lost both of my parents, but other people have went through sexual abuse or were incarcerated for 10 years or whatever. And it just really opened your eyes. And then they talk about how they overcame all those. And it's really to just help people to know that they're not alone in their struggles. You know, that's what I want to do. Cause I've just struggled so long with self-worth and, losing my self-confidence because I didn't have my number one supporter in my corner being my mom. And that just really got to me. So last year I said, if I'm going to do this podcast, I'm going to speak out on social media and I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be transparent. And I was, and that completely changed everything. People have reached out to me that I never thought in a million years would open up to me. Men that I went to high school with about stuff that has happened to them or whatever. And that's how I knew I was truly living my purpose. Cause I was allowing other people to start opening up about their story and not feel shameful or guilty or whatever. So that's how the bright side of life is going. It's going great. And obviously the bright side of life, you know what that's for. You know, I've had a lot of pain and sadness in my life, but I don't want to be there. I want to be on the bright side of life. And I truly feel that sometimes that is our ultimate choice. We have a choice whether we want to live and look at life on the bright side, or if we want to be sad about everything.
That's absolutely brilliant. What, just how you've managed to turn everything around, and what the people that come to you to speak to you and open themselves up to you. But just from our very brief conversation, I can tell like, you're very warm, you're very nurturing. It probably is like down to the, you know, the mum aspects as well. But,
yes.
But you just, it's, you feel like someone that you could talk about and tell your story to. And it's so commendable. Well, and you're right, it is a good form of like self-therapy as well. Like you speak to somebody who's been through a struggle and it gives you a real sense of perspective and that really humbles you, I think. If I can get the words out, excuse me, you can tell I'm still new at this, can't you? We'll circle back to your father. I didn't want to ask, but since you brought up that he wasn't there anymore, was he still alive when your mom passed away?
Yes, he was still alive. So my dad just passed away this January. He wasn't really in my life. He had a really hard time showing emotion. So he was not really in my brother and I's life, but he went in for a heart and kidney transplant at the same time. Like they were doing both surgeries, one back to back. And unfortunately he did not survive the surgeries. And so he passed away. That one was a hard in the sense that he had just moved back to Missouri where I live. And I really thought that this was finally going to be the time that him and I got to rekindle a relationship. He has not lived in the same state as me since I've been a little girl. Yeah. And so now he was finally here, but then COVID happened and my dad apparently was really in not good health. So he did not want me coming to his house. So never got to see him while he was in Missouri. And when he went in for that transfer, he called me the night before and I just knew that why he called me. I knew he called me because in case this would be the last time I talked to him.
Yeah.
And it was. And so now this is twice in my life that the unimaginable has came true. You know, like I really, my boyfriend's like, Melissa, he's going to make it through the surgery. You know, obviously we're not God. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I took that one really hard because we can no longer rekindle what we had not had for so long. And I had so many unanswered questions from him, and so many things I wanted to say to him, and almost in a manner of, I have forgiven him. Because it's not just our generation that has mental health issues or mental health struggles. It's our parents and then their parents. And I truly believe that my dad had some kind of mental health struggles that he himself wasn't maybe aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I can no longer blame him for not being in my life as much. I know it was his responsibility, but at the same time, I really think he struggled with stuff as well. And maybe just as simple as I didn't know how to show my kids love and I was scared. So
I think maybe it's something to do with, like, you know, you becoming a parent yourself, that it's given you a bit more of the human perspective of your parents.
Yeah.
In my case, like before my kids came up, I was very immature. And it was, but you looked up to your parents thinking they knew everything, what their work was law, essentially. And then when you become a parent, and after I went through my therapy, you realize they're human as well. They make mistakes. They're not perfect. And things that they say that they won't realize will have a detrimental impact on their kids. It does happen, but it's not intentional. They've just stumbled. And it took a lot of kind of self-realization and me becoming a father as well to realize that. Did your daughter have a good relationship with her grandfather, or was that kind of more estranged as well?
Yeah, no, not my real dad. She only met him a handful of times really throughout her whole life. But fortunately for her, my stepdad, whom is still in our life, he is now remarried and everything, but he is still in our life. We see him, you know, on the holidays and everything. And that is her grandpa. And her dad's dad also, she sees him all the time too. So she is very, very close with both of them. For that, I am extremely grateful for that.
It's something nice for you to kind of comfort yourself with as well. Like you say, maybe she wasn't as close with them, but she's got that kind of extended family that maybe you didn't feel that you had. What about, you touched on your brother. Is he still active in your life as well?
Yep. He is in Missoula, Montana, which is one of the most beautiful places in the United States. So he has lived there for 15 years with his wife. And my family, my boyfriend and my daughter and I just went to Missoula in August to take an 8-day vacation to go see him.
Really? You must have loved that, especially after everything we've been through that in the last couple of years.
Yep. And that's exactly why we did, because when my dad passed away, he was in Missoula. We didn't have a funeral. We didn't get to say our goodbyes. And so my brother and I wanted to get together. I had been to Missoula several times before this, but my boyfriend had never seen it. And my daughter hadn't been since she was a little girl. So it really, really was a wonderful time for us to all get together. And it's really unfortunate that he lives so far away, because he's one of the very few family members I have left. But it's really made us a lot closer with us losing both of our parents. We know we got to stick together, because it's only really us anymore.
I'm so glad that through a negative, you've been able to find such positives. And what, just like your surname, you're just so bright. It's such a pleasure talking to you. It really is.
Thank you.
What does 2022 look like for Melissa Bright and her family? Let's hear the good plans, the good vibes that you're going to bring out into the world next year.
Yeah. So I actually, it's funny that you asked this. I just had like an intuition last night when I was going to bed, and this voice or my intuition told me that I need to have some kind of retreat in 2022. And that is going to be all surrounded around mental health. I want to have it somewhere out in nature. I want to do yoga. I want to have some kind of classes, whether it's around how to take care of our mental health, how to improve our self-confidence, how do we find our self-worth again, wellness, whatever it is, I'm doing it. That's going to be something that I'm going to do in the spring of 2022. My podcast, I am going for the people I really want to have genuine conversations with. I don't just pick people just because, oh, this person said they would be a guest on my podcast. There are people, Jay Shetty, he is my number one bucket list. I am trying to get him on my podcast. He was the reason why I started mine. I'm just going for it. I mean, that's all I'm going to do, is I'm going to go for it. And there are people out in this world that I really want to have good, genuine conversations with. And it's going to be amazing. I'm putting my intention out there in the world.
I really do hope that you get your number one guest and your bucket list guest. If you do, you have to come back and tell me how it is and if it's like everything that you've hoped for. I do listen to your podcast. Obviously, I did a bit of my research before getting to see it. And I love the way that you speak to people. I've said it before, but you're so relatable. You're so grounded and down to earth. And when it comes to talking about mental health, you'll know yourself. Sometimes people feel that's a hard barrier to break down, depending on who you talk to. But you just make it seem like there is no barrier. It's like, I'm open. You be open too. Let's lay it all out there and just have a nice, natural conversation. It's something that I think that especially like my fans should tune into. So tell us, where can my fans find The Bright Side of Life?
Yeah, so The Bright Side of Life is on almost any platform out there, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, any podcast platform, Pandora, iHeartRadio, or you can go directly to thebrightsideoflifepodcast.com. And that literally has all the platforms listed right there. You pick out your favorite one, but then I also have videos that, you know, I have videos on my podcast also, and a couple freebies on there that you guys can get, a self-care planner, or coloring, mental health coloring sheets that you guys can download. So it can all be found at thebrightsideoflifepodcast.com.
That's great. And I'll definitely be getting those coloring sheets. Something I love is about coloring.
Yes, I
just do that with my kids. They're at the coloring stage. Why not?
Yeah.
So we're just starting to come up on time. So I'll round off with the final question I always ask my guests. If you could give one piece of advice to anybody who may be listening right now and is struggling with mental health issues, what would that one piece of advice be and why?
The one piece of advice I would say is you have to take some kind of action. And I know when you are going through a struggle, sometimes you just don't. But then that turns into days upon days upon days. And that's really where you get stuck in that depression. And I'm not meaning if you just lost somebody tragically yesterday, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it's been 10 years, like it was for me, you know, just to take those little steps of taking those steps to make life worth living. You know, something that I always try to do is living in the present moment, but just focusing, seeing what makes you grateful. List three things, you know, right now that you're grateful for, and that can really help you shift your mindset. I'm grateful for my puppy, or I'm grateful for Andrew for this conversation. Like, how amazing is this? That can really help shift your mindset. So my advice would be just take action, even though it's not always easy. You will be happy that you did take that action.
That's a great piece of advice, Melissa. You've been such a breath of fresh air. I've really enjoyed the conversation with you. And now we get to turn this around with our favorite segment for at least three people that listen to this, Ask Andrew Anything. This is where, after grilling my guest for, at this precise moment, 30 minutes, they get to flip it around and ask me a question. There's no subject that is off limits, no topic I won't go into. Melissa, do you have a question for me?
I do have a question for you. I want to know what made you choose your podcast topic that you chose.
Very good question. Thankfully, one I've been asked before, so I am so ready with this answer. The reason that I chose this specific thing is it's something that I know quite well, is what the performing arts, for one. What, a theatre kid. What, I've loved theatre since I was 6 years old. And mental health, because I've struggled with that for probably all my life. I wasn't officially diagnosed until I was in my 20s. The reason I decided to do the podcast, at first it was, we're in lockdown, everybody and their granny's doing it, so I might as well join in. And it was just really kind of ramblings about life. It was just a way to kind of keep me ticking over. I mean, I was still going to work, and well, I was back in within 3 weeks after the first bit of lockdown, but we were still there, we were still plodding on, things were kind of going okay. And then my great auntie Gina passed away, and she had a stroke, she caught COVID in the hospital and died. She was 91, but at the same time she was one of those matriarchal figures that you think will outlive you. And the fact that I never got to see her at all, it completely broke me. Mm-hmm. It was one of the hardest points in my life, and it made me question everything. Well, I was struggling, feeling like I was a good husband or a good father or even a good person. And I kind of hit rock bottom when I started feeling suicidal, and I started feeling like there was no point in me being alive, and I was taken out of my family home for 6 weeks. Because not only did they say I was a risk to myself, they said I could be a risk to my family. And that was the worst feeling that I've ever felt in my life. I just remember sitting in my room at the time, just thinking, right, there's two roads. There's the short road, which is just give up and just go out. And right, the long road, which was to fight. Not going to lie, the short road was very much considered, because when you'll know yourself, when you're in that space, you're not trying to fight for yourself. You don't feel worthy enough to fight for yourself. So the only thing I could focus on to keep me going was my kids and my wife. That's where I felt I had to be. I had to get back to them. They were the reason I got through every second, and then every minute, and then every hour, and just like that. And it's been a very long road to kind of get back to where I am. And I was still doing bits and pieces with the podcast, and I decided to take a break and really focus on what it was that meant something to me. And mental health, well, especially after going through what I went through, was something that I really wanted to raise more awareness of, especially in my part in Scotland. It's not really, like the rest of the world, it's not really talked about, but the Scots always seem to have that kind of, we're seen as the hard kilt wearing haggis eating Highlanders that, you know, we don't show emotion, and it couldn't be further from the truth. We're all human, we all struggle, and if anything, this has been beneficial for me. Well, for totally selfish reasons, it's keeping my mental health positive, getting to speak to such lovely and entertaining guests like yourselves and everybody that I've interviewed up to this point. it keeps me happy. It means that I've got a smile on my face when I'm out with my boys and while playing with them and spending time with them. It means that I feel happier around my wife. I always tell her how much I love her, but I tell her that a little bit more, so much that she's going, Andrew, get away, go away. But I feel happier around my family. I'm still very lucky to have my mum and dad, on the occasions that I see my older brother as well. But I'm going into work and not thinking, oh, it's the 9-to-5 dread. I know that there's a reason for me to go there so I can do these things and keep myself going. And to be honest, doing the podcast isn't about, for me, it's not about the money yet. Maybe one day, but right now, I'm just loving it. I'm loving getting to talk to people and find out their stories. And it seems to be something that, I don't like to blow smoke up my own ass, but I think I'm good at it.
Yeah.
I think I like talking to people. I like asking questions. But also, I'm very empathetic. I'm very emotional myself, and I'm not afraid to show those emotions. And getting to hear other people be so open with me, it's really humbling and really keeps my feet on the ground. It's a bit of a long answer, but it's I like doing it. It's good fun. Even though we're touching on hard issues sometimes, but it's I just love it. I love what I'm doing and I'm so happy to do it. And right. If you ever want me to come on as a guest for your side, if you think I would be good enough, feel free. There's still loads in this messed up brain that I haven't touched yet.
Yeah. Well, Andrew, I want to say thank you for sharing your story very much. I also want to say to you that you are worthy of being here. You have much more fight in you, and you have so many people that love you, your wife, your kids. So you are worthy of being here. Please, please know that. Okay.
And you're the first guest to make me cry.
thank you so much. I didn't mean to make you cry, but you have to know that. You have to know that. And what you are doing this. I love that you said you're doing it for selfish reasons. But we need that. We need that. This helps us with so much of our struggles to see other people going through stuff also and just giving us hope, you know. It might not be the same situation, but you can see other people fighting and other people opening up to you. Like you said, you're a very empathetic person. We both are. That's why we're having this conversation.
Definitely.
And that's why you're good at asking those questions just naturally, you know, when you're genuinely curious. And so you do great at this.
Thank you. So thank you very much. Liza, it's been absolutely lovely having you on. Thank you so much. And I do hope at some point I'm able to get you back on. We can hear more about the bright side of life and how things are progressing, not only for yourself, but for your daughter as well. And hopefully find out that she's come on saying, yeah, she had a great 20th birthday. And we went on that that retreat, and it was such a humbling experience. I can't wait to hear these stories. Even if I'm just having to tune into Bright Side of Life podcast and hear them, I'm very much looking forward to hearing your voice again. So to everybody watching, I've been Andrew Durning. This has been the beautiful and wonderful Melissa Bright of the Bright Side of Life podcast. Please check it out. It's pretty life-changing, in all honesty. You'll feel so refreshed afterwards. Can't give it enough credit. So until next time, my three faithful followers, take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.